Welcome to the Valley Outdoors. Glad to have you guys with us. I am in the house. That's me. I'm Eric. And Sean behind the boards. And Don is out gallivanting doing something. I don't know what it might be. But nonetheless, we are going to have a good show today. Lots of cool stories. And dog owners, what to get a dog owner, a hunting dog owner that you just always wish you knew, but now you're going to know. Got those things picked out for you. And a ton more coming right up.
Does your family need a break from the daily routine?
Hello, I'm Dr. Spruce. If you or someone you know needs a healthy dose of nature, visit discovertheforest.org and trade in the big screen for the big blue sky by visiting a local park or forest near you.
Hiking, picnicking, swimming, orienteering, climbing, admiring wildlife, or inhaling fresh air may result in heightened creativity, feelings of joy, harmony, satisfaction, and a euphoria that can only be explained as oneness with the natural world.
Whoa.
Ashkenam Resort on Ash River in northern Minnesota is a destination you're looking for. Ashkenam offers everything for the angler or family vacation with access to Lake Cabotogama, Namekin Lake, and the gateway to Voyageurs National Park. Thousands of acres of clean, refreshing water all available to you. This is your destination for your next fishing trip or family vacation. Check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. Do I need to say walleyes, northern pike, and crappies? Well, it's always good to have you guys hanging out with us. Love that. And I love coming up with the stories. You know, it's kind of funny when you look at all the different methodologies, Sean, that you come up with them, the different sources that you get stories from, and you hunt and search and try and find the cool stories. And talk about a challenge, man. I'm telling you, it is always a challenge, but some of the stuff that I'd like to put on, I'm like, no. I just can't do it.
It's like the biggest part of my day is doing that, trying to find something, you know,
interesting to talk about.
Right.
Yeah. So prime example, right now, talking about tip of the week. So I'm thinking in my mind, I'm like, what would be a good thing to do? And of course, I just got done talking to a friend of mine who just spent the day on Lake Erie. And he said it was 37 degree water. Yeah, 37 degrees out. I don't know. I wasn't sure I believe it's in the low 40s temperature wise. And I thought, there's a lot of things they don't want to bring their boats out in this time of year. They're afraid you're going to have problems, but there's things that you can do to protect the boat and make sure that you get that good late season fall bite, because now is when the fish are on fire. I know the saugers here and the red wing are going big time. I mean, it's waylay right now. And Erie, same thing. The only thing in Erie is you have to dodge the windy days that are this last week. Had some extremely windy days. And a couple buddies of mine went out early in the week and did pretty darn good. So, you know, one of the things that comes up, what do I do? I'm going to put the boat in the water. It's going to get frozen overnight. I'm going to break things. Two things you can do. One is I always put a plug in the live well, so from the outside. So you don't let any water into the system that prevents you from having any issues at all. You put a biodegradable antifreeze into the live well, right into the deal. Make sure that you don't have any issues with that and let it sit in there. That's fine. But you don't have to worry about it. Just don't let it, you don't have to have it come up to the top of the live well or, you know, come into the actual where the fish are. You're going to eat, the fish are cold, so they're going to be fine anyway. Just bleed them out and you're fine. So that's a big thing. The other thing that I like to do if you're using your boat multiple times in the winter, when your boat is off the trailer, give it some shots of WD-40. You're going to say, what? Why would I do that? Couple reasons. Way back when I first started fishing the tour, we found that at night, you know, you pull your boat off in the daytime, you know, the late afternoon or early evening, and you put it on the trailer and it's cold. It's definitely freezing at significant freezing temperature overnight. The boat's setting on it and it's going to freeze. Well, the problem comes in if your boat freezes to the trailer, you got yourself some problems. And the WD actually displaces that, so you don't have that issue of the water and the boat adhering to each other. Because what you'd have to do is unhook the back straps and drive it over curbs. You'd have to jump it off of different, like any obstacle you could find to jump off the trailer off of so it would bounce. Okay, now, safety tip that goes with it. If in the past you've been used to unhooking your trailer while backing it in winter, don't do that. That's going to help you. Don't do that. Leave the boat hooked up until you get it near the water. Then you can disconnect it and then go in the water, because otherwise you'll be one of those statistics that we hear about. The boat ended up on the launch ramp and we had to have a tow truck or wrecker come out and lift it back onto the trailer. Just don't do that. Understand that's a big thing. So that's important. Those two keys are important. And lastly, tip your motor down while it's still warm. Let the water drain out. Get it out completely so it doesn't freeze in the water pump. And you'll be just fine. Give it one quick fire and you're done. That's it. You can run your engines over and over and over. Not a problem. Not a big deal. And of course, always put the fuel treatment in the tank so you don't have to worry about treating it later. Then you're going to be just fine. So those key elements are definitely going to help you guys get on the water, stay on the water, not worry about breaking your live well pumps and live well system. The plumbing in the boat, you're not going to have to worry about the engine having a failure with the water pump, and you're going to have a much better time when you're out there. So, and a sunflower heater. It's always nice to be comfortable when you're out in the water. So make sure that you kind of follow those kinds of things when you're out in the water. When you're in the boat, I think one of my big things is I try to use also a bait caster. And believe it or not, the main reason is I'll use a right-handed bait caster because I'm right-handed. I primarily use that. I can keep my left hand in my pocket, and I can retrieve and drop the lure. And in a lot of cases, used in the river, you can use two. If you can't use one bait per line, you don't have to worry about playing around with this spinning rod and trying to get this the line and everything else. And you can do it with a standard, like a neoprene gloved hand, and it works great. So be comfortable, by all means. If you're not comfortable in the water, it's your time in the water. You're not going to stay out very long. End of story. So that is a key element in making sure that you are comfortable on the water. Also, this snow we had this last week, if you are going to go, make sure that you have some salt with you and or sand in the trunk, because launch ramps are going to be slippery. They're going to be dangerous, and you need to make sure you have that. I know the Everett's Resort down here, they provide salt. They salt the ramp, and you're going to be safe and sound. That's not a problem. So that's relatively easy. And, you know, that when it comes down to it, I went to a early season event up on the Rainy River. Now, Sean, you have to imagine there's hundreds and hundreds of boats going up there for their early spawning run on the Rainy River. The issue becomes when people drive their boat out and don't slow down to let the water drop off the boat, and they drive right up on the ramp. Well, the water builds up, freezes, and it creates almost a foot and a half edge on the ramp. So really, courtesy for other people, if you do late season fishing, make sure when you pull the boat out, you pull it nice and slow, get to where the wheels are at the water, let that water drain, you know, 30 seconds, just get most of the water to drain off before you pull it up and create a slippery mess for everybody else out there. And it's ramp etiquette in the fall. It is ramp etiquette in the fall. So some key tips to help you guys have fun when you're late fall fishing. So we're going to take a break and we'll be back. We're going to talk a little bit about 5 deer organs you should eat. Okay, let's see what that comes out like. Stay tuned. Welcome back, everybody. And we always like to have you guys check us out on thevalleyoutdoors.com. And, of course, Facebook. Like us, please. Like us, please. I always like to have people check out the websites, the cool stuff, the links. And if you ever have any questions about the DNR, fishing, hunting, or otherwise, you can certainly just drop to the bottom of the Valley Outdoors. There's a link, and it gives you everything you want to know in every state in the 50 contiguous states, or contiguous, sorry. Well, contiguous. It's all whatever, 22440, whatever it takes. Exactly. Whatever it takes. So I left before the break and left you with this story of five organs that you should have and try from a deer. The story goes as follows. You should try a new cut of deer or meat every time you kill a deer. Otherwise, you quickly run out of ideas and what to do. So the ribs, shanks, necks, brisket, they're all really good, typical cuts of meat, right? So at some point, you have to start looking for new ideas into the guts of the matter. Forgive the pun. heart is one tradition that spans centuries and cultures, generations. Obviously, it's a hardworking organ. However, because it's a cardiac muscle rather than skeletal, it doesn't go through the rigor mortis like the rest of the body and doesn't have to be aged before being eaten. Not only is it delicious and straightforward to prepare, but it also contains folate, iron, zinc, selenium, and B vitamins essential for your heart health. The easiest way to prepare the cut is to cut off the aorta, the fat, and the heart connective tissue from the top, then slice the heart in half with a knife and remove many of the small heart strings and clean out the remaining blood. Heart can be eaten as grilled into steaks or cut into strips for kebabs or bulgogi. Now, I have not looked up what that is, but nonetheless, apparently it's something else you can fix from it. For those still unsure of eating organ meats, I found that grinding the heart into the burger, also is an easy way to incorporate the organ meat into nearly all meals. Number two, liver. Beside what recent trends in liver consumption might lead you to believe, social media vloggers did not discover the benefits of eating liver. Liver consumption has occurred for a millennia, and it was often the first organ eaten from an animal. It's also one of the most nutritionally dense foods available to humans. Animals also tend to eat organs, meats first. The liver contains iron, folate, copper, vitamin A, and vitamin B. When cutting the deer, the liver will be on the animal's right side, connected to the spine and the diaphragm. Cutting through the liver will not damage it, but avoid cutting the gallbladder, which is full of bile and it can tear easily. Much like the heart, the liver can be sliced for grilling, searing, and those still unsure of meat, ground meat, and grinded with their burger. Now, I will tell you this. I know for a fact I love liver and onions. We'd go to deer camp, we'd have it. It was amazing and super good. So that definitely a good or something to try. I'm not saying you're going to like it, but I think you should try it.
I do like the idea of grinding it up into the ground beef for like hamburger and stuff like that. Yeah,
exactly. This one is a little bit hard to swallow. Now for something a little different. The tongue is an organ that has gained recognition recently, possibly due to the rising popularity of jengua in many Mexican dishes. Despite its unique reputation, the tongue can be used in various dishes from braising for tacos into pan frying, searing, and topping for chimichurri. Tongue is high in zinc, iron, choline, and fatty acids. To remove the tongue, simply be cutting under the underside of the animal's chin, skinning the flesh away from the bottom jaw, then make the cuts either side of the inside of the jaw. Pull the tongue out through the bottom. I'm not going to get into that. To render it edible, the tongue will first have to be simmered in water for about 4 hours and then placed in an ice bath, after which the outer layer of skin can be peeled away. There you go. How about that?
How big are deer tongues?
About probably 5 inches, 4 inches long.
I was going to say, it's not like a beef tongue. I mean, this is a smaller piece,
big.
Obviously.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. this one, I don't know. Saving intestines is not for the faint of heart or those short on time, but they will make some of the best natural sausage casings you'll ever have. Any natural sausage casing you buy from a butcher shop is made from the intestines of hogs and sheep, so it's not too crazy to imagine your own casings from the guts of the deer, antelope, wild hog, caribou, or even moose. The smaller the animal, the smaller the casing, and deer intestines would be suitable for breakfast sausages, while a moose intestine would be great for summer sausage. So plan your casing for your whatever you're gonna eat. I'm not making this up. I'm just reading it. Saving the intestines involves a lot of work, but it's worth it at the end. Identify small intestine and, without being too aggressive, give it a good tug away from the membrane that it's attached to. It will begin to unravel without tearing. The intestine should then be emptied and rinsed out, turned inside out, scraped clean. For a more thorough explanation, you can check into various websites on that for your side of it. This is also another questionable one. The stomach may be one of the final frontiers for modern-day hunters having saving organs. Deer, unlike other ruminants, have four stomach chambers. Different stomach work to ferment grass and then turn it into food source that can be absorbed by the body. The four stomachs in order are called the rumen, the reticulum, the omasum, and the abomasum. Tripe can be made from all four chambers, which one will look different on the plate. The most popular types of tripe for culinary uses are rumen tripe or book tripe, reticulum tripe or honeycomb tripe, and omasum tripe or book tripe. Fortunately, anyone hoping to cook tripe, most of you will find the stomach is mostly grass. The stinkier stuff does occur until a further down the line. To clean the tripe, empty the stomach contents, turn it inside out, give it a rigorous cleanse. The stomach lining will be dark. All but loose stomach contents should be cleaned out. Soak the stomach in the water for 10 minutes, then transfer to cold water. You can use coarse salt and white vinegar to remove impurities. Repeat the process as necessary until the tripe is pale yellow. To treat or create white tripe, it must be soaked in chlorine or bleach solution. Sounds to me like lutefisk in a way. you soak it in lye and then you let it age. You can pick it up and use it as a baseball bat or hockey stick or a highlight mallet. There's a lot of different methodologies you can use there, but I think this may be the same kind of thing.
Deer haggis.
deer haggis, tripe. It can be cut into strips and squares and used in classic dishes such as menudo, pho, and tripa alla romana, or my favorite, simply deep fried. On that note, I'll let you guys take a break. Either have to take a bio break or otherwise after that. We'll be right back with some dog tips for what to get a hunting dog owner for this Christmas. Be right back.
For the angler that has everything, or just thinks everything, grace your palm with the feel of a custom fishing rod made to your specs from Patriot Custom Rods. It will soon become a cherished tool in your hand, providing the sensitivity and feel you have long dreamed of. Patriot Custom Rods are specially designed to your species of fishing, rod weight, colors, grip type, and length. Treat yourself or someone else to a Patriot Custom Rod. Find us on thevalleyoutdoors.com.
Eric Olson here, professional walleye tour champion, avid outdoorsman, and host of the Valley Outdoors radio show. Aquatic invasive species, or AIS, threatens not only our rivers and lakes here, but everywhere we boat. They come in many forms, and they love to hitch a ride to the next body of water on your boat or trailer. Join me to stop the spread of AIS by cleaning all weeds and aquatic material from your trailer before leaving the launch ramp. Drain live wells and clean areas that don't drain completely. Plus, don't forget to pull the plug. Clean, drain, dry. Together, we can make a difference. Well, I hope everybody made it through that post-story break. I apologize for that ahead of time. Oh, no, wait a minute. Post time. I didn't warn anybody beforehand, so my bad for that. You got to go with a story that sounds kind of, it sounds like fun. It's entertaining. It may not be good, but there is that. So let's jump into another story. I was going to talk about the remains of an elk hunter, which I'll get to momentarily, but I thought the connection of the two stories would not have been a good one. So we'll leave it at that out of it. We're moving right into best gifts for hunting dog owners, which it can be difficult because most dog owners have just about everything that they could want, right? But there's some pretty cool stuff. So let's jump into it, shall we? And it's really for the hunter and the dog as well, because there's some cool things for that the dog will like too. So, best overall gift, the Onyx Hunt subscription. It's kind of cool. It's a handheld GPS device that you can put on your smartphone, and everything is there. You could talk about where you're hunting, look at that, offline maps, private land boundaries. It's a pretty neat deal. Choose between a premium and elite membership. The premium is $29.99 a year. Gives you access to all the features within one state. Onyx Hunt Elite is $99 a year, and it provides nationwide coverage, all standard features, and expert resources. So that's kind of a neat deal. You can plug it right into your phone. Best GPS dog collar, the Garmin Alpha 200. Helps keep track of your four-legged creature companion. And it's, again, the Garmin Alpha 200. You can buy other collars and handheld devices separately. The bundle makes it easy to get a gift for both the handler and the hunting dog. It has large screens, easy to use. You can pair it with as many as up to 20 dog collars and store their information so you don't have to add or change dogs each time you hunt. Along with the mapping features Garmin typically offers, the 200 shows the dog's location and direction of movement. The collar can receive and track up to 9 miles away and is water resistant up to 10 meters. If the dog is e-collar trained, the collar can be used on 18 levels of continuous or momentary stimulation or an audible tone or vibration. It holds a charge for up to 20 hours and is rechargeable and has an 80-hour battery life. So pretty neat there. Friendly dog GPS collar, Garmin Astro 330. That's the next step up. And has the same features that overlap the Alpha 200. Stores up to 20 dogs. The hunt metrics help identify individual dog movements and locations easily. Will also distinguish when the dog is on point or provide bark status alerts. The main difference between the two collars, training collars capable, the collar capabilities, and is solely a tracking device. The Momarsh stand, for those waterfowl hunters in your life, invest in the Momarsh stand. Is a versatile stand perfect for retrievers. It can be set up at various settings because of the telescopic legs, so the dog actually stands on it or sits on it when it was ready for the next retrieve. It is lightweight, and it can go in any water. So if you're standing, you don't want your dog to be sitting in the water. That's definitely something will turn your dog into a frozen popsicle. It's lightweight and packable, not hard to carry, and it's also out of very durable material and mesh, so it drains easily. Neoprene dog hunting vest from Momarsh. That's also a good one. Keeps your dog warm. The Yeti Trailhead dog bed. Yeti, of course, is a name in keeping things hot or cold. Why not give them a gift, something else from the brand? The Trailhead dog bed not only looks good, it is well-cushioned, removable pad that makes it easy for travel as well. Even more importantly, it's easy to clean, and the dogs absolutely love it. Stewart freeze-dried treats. Treats of any kind are a perfect gift for the hunter that already has everything that they need. Dogs love them. They're higher value treat, like a Stewart freeze-dried treat. Excellent for all training sessions when you want to give them that reward. Fan favorite among dogs is the freeze-dried liver. We talked about liver a minute ago. Made with pure beef liver, so you can trust the dogs only eating simple, fresh ingredients, which is key. Hunt them up. Standard dog training bumpers. And is made from a plastic material. They're lightweight, work well for all breeds and training levels. Braided rope is attached to every one of them and makes it easier to throw long distances for both marks and retrieves. So if you're looking at doing the blind retrieves, and you can haul it out there pretty well. It's available in white, orange, and black and white. Let's see. Over underwater dog collar, personalized gifts. The up-and-coming brand is famous for its durable high-end hunting gear, and the waterproof collar is no different. Available in size, multiple sizes, and as they say, bevy of colors, from teal to alpine green, can be customized with their dog's name and phone number on it if they ever get separated. The bumper bag, that's also a good one to put all of your training material in it. And of course, the Tom Dokken, it's the Dokken Deadfowl Trainer. Mix it up with the trainer. The trainers are durable, long-lasting, as they are used as a retrieval tool. Not a chew or tug toy. Available in a few different sizes and colors that pair well with waterfowl scents to further dogs, young dogs, and helps them expose to the smells and the shapes of what they're going to be retrieving. They're easy to throw, as others mentioned, and they provide the dog with different experience than they're known to have with a regular bumper. Whistle, jump through that. Roughland kennel, nice kennel. Flex technology material helps all side absorbs heat if there were a crash, and also protects the dogs if you do have a car crash. Several sizes are available. The Sure Vent walls allow airflow through the kennel, and the raised floor channels any dirt, mud, and debris away from your dog, which is nice when you're out on a hunt. Water dish, crate cushion, which is nice. The cushion is made from 1,200 denier nylon, highly water resistant, quick dry material designed for dogs in mind. And while it's not necessary for short trips, having the crate cushion is ideal for longer treks. It's also nice when the dog gets done at the end of the day. Give him something to be comfortable in. They can lay down and not have to worry about laying on a hard surface. So
he deserves it.
Yeah.
Or she.
Doggone it. Exactly. Leatherman multi-tool. No matter what you're going to do, Leatherman's always good. Fido Airlift Pro. This is an interesting one. If you have this with you in your pack, you can actually carry your dog on your backpack. So kind of a neat thing. It's actually in the. It's part of a dog carrying pack. So you can carry your dog out if it's injured in the field. So never know when that can happen.
Like kind of a baby born kind of
on
thing?
On your back.
Oh, on the back.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's like a sling kind of thing, and you can carry your dog out. Not a problem at all. So kind of neat things, kind of things to check out. And it's always for those people that are hard to hunt for, hunt and shop for. So remember those things. And remember, doggone it, our show is only 30 minutes, so we're wrapping up. Stay tuned for next week. I don't know when that's what's going to happen next week, but it'll definitely be good. Have a great, safe weekend. We'll see you soon.
And happy Thanksgiving.
And happy Thanksgiving. See ya.